All right, welcome guys. This is Daniel. Today is Friday, August 14th, and back for your weekly update here in the First Deal Experience. By the way, I hope you guys are enjoying all the podcasts that we're doing. You know, we recorded one yesterday with my friend Nathan Tabor, who's done $52 million in gross sales in fixing and flipping apartments, which you don't hear a whole lot about. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, I really hope you guys are enjoying. Had a chance to look at all the statistics for all my listeners. And by the way, your favorite musician apparently is Eminem and Drake. So congratulations. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. So as always, we're going to start with market news. And I'm going to do personal update and I'm going to do something educational at the end, which is going to be really fun. All right, so let's start with the market update news. Got interesting pieces of information. The 30-year fixed for the week of August 10th to today, August 14th, so this past week, the average fixed rate remains under 3% at 2.96%. Last week, believe it or not, this week was a jump from last week, which was 2.88%. Now, here's what's really interesting. You compare that year to year. This time last year, I believe we're in the second or third week of August, give or take. Last year, it was 3.6%. was the average 30-year fixed rate, which is insane because last year I remember headlines saying, wow, can rates get any lower? You know, historically low rates, et cetera, et cetera. Let's move on to the 15-year. The average 15-year fixed is 2.46% this week. Again, that's August 10th to today, August 14th. Last week was 2.44%. So we saw a 2-point uptick compared to last week. And then year to year, if you're looking at the 15-year average fixed rate mortgage, this time last year was 3.07%. We have a 950% increase in Google searches for process of buying a home, which obviously leads me to say the market predominantly in every major city in America is quote unquote hot right now. We are in a total seller's market, in my opinion. Now, what is a total seller's market? That means that for every one house, there are three buyers. We're seeing things being taken off inventory within hours, not days, as many realtors around the country are reporting. The total seller's market, let's go back to this real quick. So that's three buyers for every house. A traditional seller's market, so as opposed to a total seller's market, a traditional seller's market is going to have at least 1.2 buyers for every house. And then an even market, which is typically your average in a 10-year market cycle, you're going to have one house for every one buyer. And you kind of do the same numbers flip-flop for the buyer's market, right? You have one seller for three houses, I suppose. I don't know how that works. But anyways, okay, let's move on to commercial real estate. All right, so New York hospitality reports show that 83% of restaurants and bars could not pay full rent. 37% did not pay at all. So that's just New York, folks, right? No need to worry, right? No, I don't think so. I'm seeing reports that number is between 45 to 55% in terms of showing partial payment for rent. Now, obviously this is hospitality. So you're talking about restaurants and bars, but get this. So Simon Property Group, which is one of the biggest retailers in terms of real estate ownership, collected only 73% of rents from retailers, which if you think about expenses, which is typically about 47% on a national scale, if you look at commercial real estate as a whole, and then you look at the average debt service, 73% is not enough, let alone accounting for your investors' returns and dividends. That's not very good. So let's see how this affects commercial mortgage-backed securities and overall investment markets. 72% of renters. This is really interesting. Let's move to the multifamily and apartment complex space. Article came out yesterday saying that 72% of renters report in a survey that they'd rent an apartment without seeing the unit if a 3D virtual tour was offered. So this could potentially be a game changer for the leasing agents in the property management industry. It's going to take a lot of time. I'm almost wondering if it's going to destroy the leasing agent industry. Right? I mean, a lot of people with leasing licenses, I'm wondering how it's going to affect, you know, if there were to be 3D tours offered, because virtually what you need for a 3D tour is, you know, obviously a production crew, and that's about it. You know, you need a good camera guy, you need a good videographer. And if it's virtual reality, well, you don't really need a leasing agent. you know, if you're looking to do that at the end of, I mean, after that, it's just a background check and a lot of those things can be automated. So 72%, that's a very vast majority. 72% of renters in a survey say they'd rent an apartment without seeing the unit. That's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Last not least, evictions expected to climb moving forward from August. Moratorium ended July 24th. And obviously August was predominantly the first day where I guess the real rent was due. So it'd be very interesting. Let's see how much the stimulus affects renters and their ability to pay rent. Now, what I am anticipating based on the research that I've done and the things and facts that I just stated, and a lot of the conversations I'm having with syndicators across the country, my assumption is that you're class C, right? So there's four different classifications of apartments. You got class A, B, C, and D. The best ones being A, where you got your amenities, you got your pools, your tennis courts, your gyms, and then class D, which is like the south side of Chicago. You know, rent probably is $450, $550, boarded up windows, you know, kind of just the least quality, as you could say. But class C, right? So you're kind of right in the middle. So imagine perhaps, you know, maybe I know a great class C example is a place called Aurora, Illinois, right? Rent is $950 for a 2-1. And you're predominantly going to see blue collar families renting, a lot of blue collar. But my anticipation is those are going to be the ones that are going to get hit the most, right? You think about the renters that are in class C and what type of jobs they have. Most likely they're the ones who are getting the hit, so to speak. So my anticipation, class C, we have to look at class C mortgages, commercial mortgages, see how they're going to respond. Okay. Personal update. This week was very productive. It was fantastic. You know, we put out a lot of great content out on our YouTube channel, which if you don't watch our YouTube channel or subscribe, it's the Kwok Brothers on YouTube. We just passed yesterday 100,000 subscribers. So big congratulations to our team, to Sam for spearheading the YouTube channel, to Nick, who's our YouTube production manager, to Katie, our editor, and our marketing director, to Ashlyn, to everybody that's involved in our YouTube channel. So congratulations to the Kwok team, and I guess also myself. But anyways, you know, we were looking at a 42-unit building down in Florida, looking at some pieces of land down there, which, you know, we got a phenomenal opportunity down in Florida. I actually spoke to an attorney today about starting my real estate fund, starting the paperwork, and continuing the process. So we're looking to probably raise capital here pretty shortly, but phenomenal opportunities, great returns. And we're doing it in an area that I believe is not going to be affected by the recession. If anything, I believe because of a potential recession, it's going to thrive even more. So I'm very, very excited about that. Okay, let's move on to the educational content. So obviously there's four ways of making money in real estate. We have cash flow, we have depreciation, we have principal pay down, aka equity accumulation, which by the way, a lot of people take for granted and underestimate, which in my opinion is the most important thing in real estate, right? It's one of the biggest things that's going to help you avert your risk. And that's something that many real estate investors don't talk about. The great Sam Zell, billionaire real estate investor, always says, you protect your downside and your upside will always take care of itself. What is the risk? You look at that first. And that's what we do. Okay. And then last but not least, we have appreciation, and the educational component is going to be me talking about the four different ways of appreciating a piece of property. The first one is passive. Now, passive is the one that many people expect. You know, you buy a home, right? And you expect it to go up in a matter of 20, 30 years. It's passive appreciation. Another one is phased. Phased appreciation is when you have a property in a block and the other properties around that property build, right? They build, they improve, they do a rehab. And because of all the properties are nice and they're improved, the property that you have, even though you didn't do anything to it, goes up in value because the neighborhood as a whole has gone up in value. So that's phased appreciation. And you also have earned appreciation. A great one would be if you're looking to buy a building, it gets appraised for $1.2 million and you end up buying it for $800,000. You have $400,000 worth of earned appreciation, and that's $400,000 worth of equity, instant equity, as they would call it. And last but not least, we have forced appreciation, when you increase the value of an investment asset by increasing the income that it produces. So if you have a, let's say a 10-unit apartment complex, you know, you increase the rent $100, you know, you're getting 10 times 100, that's $1,000 more a month, that's $12,000 more a year. you know, if a unit's going to make if an apartment's going to make $12,000 more a year, obviously that changes the way that the apartment and the asset is valued. So there's four different ways of appreciating a property, and in my opinion, people don't include that enough in their exit strategies. All right, thanks for joining me this week. I'll see you guys next week for the First Deal Experience weekly update. See you guys.
Hey everyone, Daniel Kwok here once again. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the First Deal Experience podcast. If you're wanting to do your first ever deal or scale your existing portfolio, I recently wrote a book to show you how I went from 0 to 75 rental units in just 1 year. Just head over to 0to75units.com for your copy. Again, that's 0to75units.com.